you know, you don't treat your patient just as the patient. You can sit down, have a chat with them. You end up seeing their cousins and their families. And my staff shared the same view.
Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast, the show where great dentistry meets great business. In today's episode, we're having a conversation with Dr. Aisha Ijaz. Aisha is a friend of mine and she is a fabulous business owner. She has really mastered the art of true business ownership as opposed to the traditional owner-operator kind of model. And in this episode, what we're going to be talking about is how Aisha manages to operate a couple of practices while only working one day a week clinically. And she's really worked hard at developing her team. She's worked hard at developing her systems. And during our conversation, she shares a lot of the things that, you know, with the benefit of hindsight, she's done really well. And equally, some of the hiccups that she's encountered along the way and what she's done to overcome those things. Aisha's really generous in her sharing during this conversation, and I'm going to really encourage you guys, for anyone who wants to actually transition to true business ownership, to actually take some notes and really dive into some of the things that Aisha discusses and put some critical thought into that as to how you might take that into your own practice for your own success and be able to autopilot your own practice as well. If you haven't had the opportunity to go back and listen to last week's episode with Kate Skolnick, where she talks about how to blog and get more patients through your blog and all the different tactics and tips and tricks for that, I'd encourage you to go back and have a listen to that as well. Either way, please make sure you've got a pen handy and a piece of paper to take good notes. There's lots of really good information in both the episodes there. But for now, without any further ado, here's Dr. Aisha Ijaz with all her information, tips, tricks, and strategies for how she's managed to put her practice on autopilot. Aisha, welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. It's so fantastic to have you on the program. Thanks for taking the time to join us.
Thank you, Jess. It's my pleasure.
Cool. Aisha, you, for the audience, you operate a couple of practices in Melbourne, right?
Yes, that's true. I have two practices.
Fantastic. And I know that they're going really well from an economic and financial sense. But what I think is really fascinating about your story is not only are your practices thriving and doing really well, it's the ability that you've had to be able to stand back from those practices and manage them without being hands-on clinically so much. So I know that there'll be a lot of people who want to find out a bit more about exactly how you did that. But I'm just wondering, you know, has that been an easy journey, or is it something that you set out to start, you know, when you started your practice? Was that something you had in mind at the beginning, or has it just evolved that way?
I always wanted to own a practice, to be honest. Whether I wanted to work in it full-time or part-time, I think it's been more of a journey, and you do change with time. You change your preferences and you change your ideals and ideas over time. And I think it's just been one of those things where you decide, no, I think I've had enough. I'm just going to take a step back.
Okay. So what has your journey into practice ownership been like? Can you take us through a bit of a timeline, you know, when you started and some of the things you encountered along the way?
Well, I always knew I wanted to own my own practice. I had given myself 5 years after graduation that I will own one after 5 years. I wanted to be strong clinically and I wanted to learn as much as I could. So I worked part-time in a few different dental practices. And I was always learning something or the other. And it was good to be able to work in different practices because you picked up all the good things and you knew what not to do either. Talking a lot to the staff members then and having a good relationship with them just to get an understanding. So it's always been a homework. It's something that I've been always working on. And when I found my first practice, it was just being at the right place at the right time, to be honest. And I was mentally ready. I had set up a practice for a non-dental owner, if that's the right word to put it. And yeah, and I just had that confidence where I can set up my own practice now. So it was just everything fell into place at the right time.
Okay. So when you started your first practice, was that a squat practice? Did you start from scratch?
It was a squat practice. Yes. We started from scratch.
Okay. So how was that journey? When you first started, you know, obviously, I'm assuming you started with the one chair and then grew from there?
That's right. It was exciting, to be honest. And I'm glad that I actually went and jumped in. I did not hesitate. there was a lot of homework. I had some time off before I started the practice, and that helped quite a bit, just learning everything and talking to as many reps as I could. And when you're starting your own practice the first time, you worry about each and every dollar that you spent.
Of course. Yes.
So, you know, and I'm glad I did that. So I had a spreadsheet of all the materials and the supply companies who was giving me $5 less. And
So you obviously had a very strong, you know, focus on the practice at that point. So it wasn't something you just kind of threw the doors open and kind of let it all happen. You were very obviously strategic in how you went about it.
Yes, in that sense, absolutely. I had a plan and I had an idea. It really helped talking to a lot of people. I spoke to all the reps, you know, and I had been doing that even before I started my practice. That helped a lot. And it was amazing how many reps actually came and helped me out and, you know, gave me their time and really sort of, you know, went out of the way to help me out. I was very humbled, I have to say.
Yeah, that's really lovely, isn't it? Okay, so the practice started, and obviously, you know, you were very mindful of the cash flow and making sure that, you know, you were covering your expenses and so on. What was it you think that kind of got the practice up and running? Because you've obviously moved from one chair to two to three. How has that transition been there? What do you think has been the driver of growth for you?
We were in a good area. The practice was in a newly established vicinity, and that helped quite a bit, having the need for it. On top of that, I was willing to work. I worked 12-hour days, and I had good loyal staff that helped me along the journey. We had good values, we had good ethics, and people got to know about it, and that just helped us grow.
Fantastic. And so obviously you're fairly integral in part of your community as well. I know that your practice is well known as part of the, you know, community fabric there.
That's right.
Yeah. Was that, again, something strategic that you did there? Because I know you've got a really good reputation in the community. How did you go about embedding the practice as part of the community?
I think it just comes from my values and my ethics personally. You know, you don't treat your patient just as the patient. You can sit down, have a chat with them. You end up seeing their cousins and their families, and my staff shared the same view. We've got a lot of staff members who are actually local to the community, and that just, you know, it just grew on from there.
Yeah. So what I really love about that, Aisha, is that, you know, you're a very values-driven kind of person, and obviously I know you beyond this podcast, and that certainly is something that I'd comment about to you, is you're very strong in your values, and that resonates exactly through your practice and how you interact with the community. And I think that's paid a dividend for you because it's authentic. It's not, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not false. It's not, you know, done with a marketing intent. It's just who you are. And by being who you are and engaging in a, you know, in a way that's congruent for you, you've managed to engage the community, which I think is terrific. What I'm curious to just unpack a little bit around that is, as the practice has grown, where do you think some of the growing pains occurred for you as a practice? Every practice seems to have them, but what do you think were some of the little hiccups you had along the way?
Some of the hiccups, where do I start?
At the beginning?
Yeah, I think it was, I had also underestimated or overestimated how to be, you know, what the challenges you would face as a business owner. You can't just shut off from 9 to 5 initially. You have to put everything in, and you don't get weekends sometimes. If something breaks down, you have to be there. So it was just learning how to manage your time. And also in terms of the practice, it was learning how to deal with staff members. To be honest, when you're an associate dentist, it's not your problem. When you are the principal dentist, everything is your problem.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so just learning how to deal with different staff members. You know, everybody has a different personality, how to engage with each staff member differently. There's certain staff members who share the same values as you. There's some that don't. So just getting everybody together and, you know, dealing with some clients as well, some patients, some difficult ones and some easy ones. Yeah, so it's been a journey in that sense.
Yeah. Look, there's so much wisdom you've already shared in the, you know, 10 minutes or so we've been speaking. One of the things I just want to pick up on as well, just to go back a little bit, is you mentioned earlier that when you started your practice, you worked really, really hard and you weren't afraid of working. One of the things that, you know, I'm sure you've heard as well and I've heard around the traps is you see some practice owners say, look, I just want to be the dentist. I just want to kind of focus on my patients. I don't want to think about the business. I want someone else to do that. Do you have any particular comment around that kind of approach to running the business?
I think you have to get your hands dirty first. So you have to really work hard, whether it be on the business or in the business. as long as you're willing to work really hard and you've got a good framework there, it will be okay. Yeah, I hope I'm making sense there.
It makes perfect sense. It makes absolute sense. So essentially, you know, do the hard yards, and then once you've got your system set up, once you've got your team around you, then you can perhaps focus on other things.
Exactly.
You've actually already spoken a bit about the team sort of thing and some of the challenges you had, you know, making sure everyone's on the right page and all the rest of it. Specifically, was there something, you know, in terms of building the team, and I know you've got a fantastic team, Aisha, you've got a really team of high performers that you've built from the ground up. What do you think, as part of the leadership role you've taken on in your practice, where do you think you've actually done well? What are some of the things that you look back on? You know, in that famous address by Steve Jobs to Stanford, says you can only connect the dots when you look backwards. But as you look back on your journey, what do you think you've actually done well?
I think, to be honest, yes, I do pride myself and my staff on the fact that we are actually very honest with each other. You know, if I know it gets me into trouble sometimes with them, but they know that if I don't like something, I will say it as it is. If I like something, I will say it as it is. There is no hidden agenda. They know where I'm coming from. I treat them as I would treat a family member. And over time, we've had some difficult situations with certain staff. It was a trust issue. And I think now that everybody has understood that there is no hidden agenda, we are all there to work together. They're all getting the same respect. It is very much a more harmonious relationship.
Fantastic. And in other terms of other things you've done really well, again, you've obviously grown. What do you think you've also done well in that regard?
Putting systems in place, thanks to the management program I'm in at the moment. It's fantastic. And it's very simple. So it's just being able to put things simply, having, again, a set agenda, you know, knowing what to expect from your appointment book, knowing what to expect from the staff members from the word go at 9 o'clock in the morning. Everybody knows what they're supposed to do. It just really helps. It makes it work like a well-oiled machine.
Yeah, well, your practice certainly does work very well. And after this period of growth, I know that there was the opportunity to purchase another practice. What was the thinking around that? What was the impetus to think, okay, well, we've got something going well where we are, but there's this opportunity, you know, a little bit further afield, not too far. What was the, I suppose, the impetus around that? How did you arrive at that decision?
I think I wanted to challenge myself again, to be honest. Yeah, I just wanted to do something a little bit more different again. And it was something that did come up at the right time. I had been looking at this practice and I had been in touch with the owner. It was somebody who was retiring, so I was ready to take the challenge on, and you know, they were happy to hand the reins on to me.
Cool. So again, I know there's a lot of people thinking about second practices and others, and yeah, my thought process around that, Aisha, is when you add another practice into the mix, it becomes exponentially more complicated.
Yes.
Is that your experience, or has it just been, you know, fairly linear growth, or has it been, you know, how did that kind of fit into where you were already?
Well, it was definitely a very challenging situation, I have to say. It was, and the fact that we had, it was a completely different scenario. It wasn't a squat practice. So I knew what to do with a squat practice, but this was a practice that I had taken on. It was an existing practice. So it was a very big growth curve. But having said that, I had a good team backing me up. I had informed them of what I was doing. I needed help and they were behind me, and that really helped.
Yeah, so you've been really honest with your team again.
Absolutely. I told them that I was looking at this practice. I'm quite interested in purchasing it. What did they think? I took their advice, and yeah, that really helped. So, you know, there were times when we were in some, how shall I put it, tricky situations, and my staff backed me up. They were behind me.
Yeah, lovely. And as you brought that practice in under the umbrella of, you know, what you're already doing, how was that processed? Was it simply a case of just installing your systems and whatnot into the second practice? Was it as easy as that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Simple, not easy, sorry. Let me just be clear.
Yes, simple, exactly, not easy.
And so what do you think have been some of the challenges for anyone contemplating two practices, you know, two locations? Where do you see some of the challenges around that that people should be aware of?
I think they have to decide, first of all, whether they want to be dentists only or business owners only. You can't do two things at the same time. So I think you'll have to decide how much of clinical time you want to actually put into either of the practices. If you try and spread your clinical time between the two practices, then you have to make sure somebody else is helping you out with the business side of things. So you can't wear the two hats, to be honest. That's what I feel. cutting down clinical time has been very helpful for me personally, because now I can concentrate on the business side of things.
And how much clinical time do you do now, Aisha?
At the moment, I'm doing one day a week, and I do go in and relieve my associates if they're taking time off. That's when I go in and do extra clinical time.
Fantastic. So, again, this is what I love about this, Aisha, is you've got yourself a team, you've got yourself some systems, you've got yourself a couple of locations, you're working a day a week clinically, and the rest of that time is, you know, really focus on the business development and growth of the practices, right?
That's right.
Yeah, fantastic. And, of course, you know, spending time with family and you know, doing all the other bits and pieces as well.
Absolutely.
You mentioned earlier about time and you had to figure out how to manage your time. Was there anything specific, you know, that you had to figure out or things you've learned that would be, you know, little lessons learned along the way around time?
Oh, absolutely. I've had a good coach, so they've told me how to manage it better.
Okay. What do you think some of the things have resonated for you?
If you don't like it, don't do it. And I really believe in that. I mean, even with the home and work life, if there are certain things you don't like doing, just delegate it. And that's been the best thing I've done. Monitor it, but delegate it. You know, I don't like, for household chores, I don't like doing them. That's something that we've got a housekeeper for. For work, there are certain things I don't like doing. I have delegated them. I have a fantastic operations manager who's doing a lot of the business marketing things for me. I love ideas. I love coming up with ideas, and he implements it for me.
It's fantastic. And so, again, you've got a really good right-hand person there to, you know, take your ideas, make them concrete, and put them into action.
That's right. I don't like staff rostering and looking at things. We do have a practice manager, but it's been good to have an operations manager now to overlook and oversee everything for the two practices. Yeah.
Yeah. And on that thing with delegation, Aisha, I'm obviously a huge devotee of that myself. And I think one of the things that, you know, we never talk about is delegating things outside of work as well. And I love the fact that you've delegated some of your household stuff away as well. We have too. And our latest thing that we're trying to get, because I hate cooking, and I should tell you, I am the world's worst cook. It's just not something I'm good at all. And my wife, who's a very good cook, just gets sick and tired of it. So one of the things that we're trying to delegate away, and we're in the process of doing at the moment, is cooking. And so
yes.
I'll have to let you know how that goes, because I reckon that's something that if I can get rid of that, I'll be stoked completely.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the thing. I mean, you know, we have parents who help us out with my daughter. And one of the things I do find very helpful is, and that's something that has really resonated with me, is that a happy mom is a good mom. So, you know, if I'm there, I'm present with her, I'm actually mentally and physically present with her. I'm not just there with her and my mind is, you know, in my practice or thinking of something else. And I think that means a lot to me. And we have a very good relationship because of that.
Yeah, that's lovely. And you know, and it kind of getting off topic a little bit, but it's really relevant, is your kids are only young for a certain amount of time and you only get that opportunity once to really put that time and effort into them. So I really love the fact that you've created a business that supports your family life, you know, where you're up to in your stage of life with your family, and you know, you're creating a business and a life, which is terrific. And I think that's really the art and science of everything that we do, and you've really done it well.
Thanks. Yes. And I think what I would also point out is it's really knowing, you know, how your numbers work and knowing what you're getting from your businesses every day, not just blindly doing it. I have to say, yes, numbers-wise, I know that it's not as profitable as it would be if I were working into the practice myself and taking my share as a dentist. But because I know my numbers, I know I'm happy with what I'm getting at the moment. So, you know, there has been a bit of sacrifice that way.
Yeah, I would agree. I think, yeah, certainly if you were on the tools, you know, with a handpiece in each hand, you could probably generate more revenue, a bit more net take-home pay. But you're still operating a very positive,
and
profitable business. You know, it's not. I think there'd be a lot of people who'd happily have the numbers you've got. That's for sure. They're good numbers. Yeah, they could be better or higher. Not better, but higher if you're going, you know, clinically yourself. But gee whiz, you know, Aisha, I think that balance between, you know, time and money is the key thing, isn't it?
Exactly. And I think that's what I'm trying to highlight, is that you may get a lot of money, but, you know, at what cost? So you'll just have to work out what things are important. It's the 80-20 rule, as you say. So
yeah, no, absolutely. As you've gone down the second practice path, I assume. Obviously, you know, simple but not easy in terms of embedding the processes and so on. And obviously that's kind of meant you've had to learn new skills operating across two locations, running a bigger, broader team. As you've grown into that role yourself, you know, as a leader of your business and as someone who's, you know, taking on true business ownership as opposed to the owner-operator model, what do you think, you know, obviously the different skill sets, but what do you think, you know, within yourself in terms of your own personal development, what are the things that you think you've had to learn yourself beyond the time management? Where do you think you've had to grow most?
Oh, in every aspect, you know, in terms of dentistry, there were a lot of things when I started, I said I would never do them, and I'm doing them now. Yeah. Cool. There were a lot of new skills that I thought, oh, they just, you know, when you first graduate, you've got this myopic view, and, you know, oh, I would never do CIREC, or I would never do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I think you have to keep an open mind. You have to be open to everything, and you have to learn new skills. And I'm learning a lot more new skills, and that has made me a more confident dentist, and that has made the practice more profitable. In terms of working in the practice, in terms of business, we've, you know, just learning how to, again, deal with staff members. It's a continuous journey, people skills, and managing my time, personal growth wise, managing my time, not being in control all the time. That has probably been my biggest lesson, to be honest.
Okay, so how's that shown up?
Just that I can't do everything.
Yeah. And
as simple as that.
Was that hard?
Initially, yes, but I'm glad I did it. As soon as I've done it, it's something that, you know, hindsight is great. So you just go, oh my God, I should have done it earlier.
Cool. Yeah, that's cool. Because dentists are generally known to be control freaks. I mean, all
Absolutely.
Of us tend to have that tray. So it would have been, I reckon that would have been a bit tricky.
It was tricky. And again, it's just, you know, setting your expectations, telling them exactly what you need, and just following up on that has been very, very helpful. And it's so good because, yeah, it's just given me that time off now. And I can actually, you know, make things better rather than trying to do something that was only 80%. Due to the lack of time, we can do things 100% now.
Yeah. And again, I should just, what I'm hearing you say is once you've got that team going for you, it creates time, it allows you to focus your energy, make sure you're putting your best foot forward in so many different ways. And building a team, we have a saying that, you know, if you don't have enough time, you don't have enough team. And, you know, you've got a great team around you that frees up your time. And it's really showing, I think, in the results you're achieving because, you know, working a day a week, running two practices, making a very decent profit off that. You know, that's great off the back of a team, off the back of the systems, and candidly off the back of really good leadership from you. So again, well done to you.
Thank you.
Aisha, what I wanted to just ask you is, we're going to, you know, wrap up in a little moment, but what I wanted to just ask from you, if you were a dentist just starting out in practice now, perhaps either just about to start a practice or you just have started a practice, and you're wanting to be offering a couple of pieces of advice to that particular person, what do you think from your experience, based on your experience, what sort of advice or key actions would you give in terms of advice to that person?
First of all, I would say work really hard. Don't shy away from that. It's your practice. It's your baby. So you have to nurture it and you have to give it your attention and your time. So don't shy away from that. Get your hands dirty, you know, help the staff with picking up the rubbish and, you know, fixing up little leaks and tweaks here and there. You really get to know your practice well that way. You know, the other thing would be definitely have some systems in place. We all need to know that as dentists, you know, I know that this has been said many times, but I can't stress on it enough. It's have systems in place, learn how to put systems in place, get some advice, get help with that. That, and especially if you're starting out with, you know, a squat practice, this is the best time to do it because you will actually train your patients the way you want them to be, you know, and there's not big changes. Patients will not have to face bigger changes if you bring it out in the middle of your career. And just learn new skills as a dentist if you are intending to just be the dentist in the practice and run your practice as the solo practitioner or just with a bit of help, definitely improve on the skills. So keep on learning, I think. I'm still doing a lot of courses. And be it clinical courses or in terms of business and management and case presentations and dealing with staff members, it's a continuous journey. It never stops.
Well, I think there's some really good advice in all of that. You know, firstly, work really hard. You know, that nothing comes easy or for free. You got to put sweat equity into it. And secondly, you know, continue to learn and have good systems. You know, all three, I'd say, really key piece of advice, you know, on their contemplating either starting practice. And even for those people already in practice, you know, I think that's really valid advice. Aisha, I really wanted to say thank you so much for coming onto the program today and sharing your story with us, because it is really inspirational, because I think it's really nice for people to know what's possible. And you're a walking, talking example of someone who's done it well. And I congratulate you. Well done.
Thank you, Jess. I really appreciate the comments. Thank you so much.
No worries. Well, have a good day and we'll talk soon.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast. For more episodes, go to drjessegreen.com/savvydentist. And to discover how to build a high-performance dental practice, visit drjessegreen.com and download the free report.